When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Usually the outcome is better than, I mean, it ends up being a creative mesh of both my idea and the person that helped me fulfill it, and it's better.
And the husband that helped you approve it, who's like, yeah, it looks really good. I think that,
yes,
you know, that's pretty tight.
He has an eye for detail.
See what I'm saying?
Unless he's going almond milk shopping.
All right, Mark, we're going to cut that.
And he will always get vanilla.
We're going to cut that, Mark.
And you're like, I just want unsweetened plain, please. And he's like, dude, I got it this time. And he will bring back sweetened vanilla every time. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo, and this is my co-host, Steve Green.
AKA the Crypto King. Let's go, baby.
Let's go, baby. What kind of cryptos are you like scouting today?
Go.
What kind of, are you getting corgis or giraffes or...
You talking about my NFT moves?
Talking about
whales, dummy.
Oh, wow. Whales. My bad. I'm so sorry.
Yep. And dicks.
Yeah. Yesterday, I was doing some crypto moves too.
No, you
don't. I was getting
some
giggly goats.
There's no giggly goats.
There will be. And it's so under the radar that you don't even know about it. But if you did want to know more.
What blockchain is it on?
That's just for the whales to know. Like, it's a secret pre-project that I'm doing.
Oh, so nobody wants anybody to know about it?
You don't even know. The investors are in and like it's huge volume. You don't know. Anyway.
Got it.
So if you want to know more about crypto, you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky, which is actually where today's episode starts. In our Patreon, we have we have a Discord, right, in our Patreon, and it's a whole community of people, which are really awesome. Shout out to our Discord fam. What? And in that Discord, there are many different channels, and we do have a Shit They Don't Tell You channel specifically dedicated to the topics that we talk about and also open to topic suggestion. And they also get the episodes a day early in our Patreon. And there's a bonus episode of Shit They Don't Tell You called Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark, where we talk about some more intimate things that they don't tell you about. Well, anyway, in the Shit They Don't Tell You channel, one of the topics suggested, and I believe it was from Chibi Sarah. I think. Mm-hmm. I believe it was. Mm-hmm. If not, I'm sorry to whoever suggested it that I confused with Chibi Sarah. But I believe she requested that I do a topic on how I started my jewelry line. And, you know, I thought about it and I'm like, yeah, that is some shit they don't tell you. Because a lot of the ways that I've approached things that I wanted to do, I had no idea where to go first. And it would have been nice to have like some sort of direction. So I know not all of you are wanting to start a jewelry line, but maybe you've been interested in like, how do I start a business? Or I kind of have this thing and I want to turn it into a business. Maybe it's a hobby, or maybe you've always just wanted to be in a certain industry. You know, whether it's a product-based business or a goods and services thing, you just want to know. So I'm gonna tell you the story of how I started this jewelry line, but I'll also try to relate it to like a general business
for people who aren't trying to start jewelry lines.
Yeah,
I understand.
For all those out there who's like the minority,
like myself,
you know, the most of you are out there trying to start jewelry lines, so
fair.
I'll just, you know, I'll speak mostly to you, but for the others, feel free to listen. And I want to start by saying that there are so many different ways to get there, to start any business, and this is just the particular route that I took. But really, when you start something, you should think about what your strengths and weaknesses are as a starting point. And so the way that you might get into something will vary based on what your particular strengths and weaknesses are. So if you didn't know, I have a jewelry line. It's called Kittens and Coffee. You can go to kittensandcoffee.com or you can follow us on Instagram, Kits and Cough. There's underscores underneath there. I'll put the links in the description. There's also a Facebook page, but I will admit I'm very bad at checking that. So don't expect responses. But I appreciate you, Facebook fam. Anyway, okay. So back in 2018, a company approached me about starting a business, a jewelry line. That's the easiest way to start a jewelry line, by the way, is having someone just approach you and say,
"Hey, big help.
You want to start a jewelry line?" And I was like, hell yeah, because just a little bit about my backstory. I used to make jewelry, and like all throughout my childhood, I made wiring jewelry, and I got pretty intricate with the jewelry. And it was always, then when I got into crystals, I used like crystal stones, and I would make different designs using wire and stone and all kinds of different beads. Designs. And yeah, bead, glass beads, I would mix it. And I would give them as gifts, and people would be like, you should start a jewelry line. And I was like, that would take way too much time to make all of those necklaces. It took me like 5 hours a piece to do.
This is what reminded me of my mom so much when I first got with you, is you were making jewelry for your friends for Christmas.
And yeah.
Like just crafty stuff like that.
Yeah. I always like make something for people for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you like it. That's what you're getting.
Exactly.
Okay. So yeah, I'd always thought about starting a jewelry line, but I didn't know how. Obviously, I was like, that's too much work to figure it out. So when this company approached me, I was like, yes, I wanted to do this. And this particular company had worked with other YouTubers. So they were essentially a merch company that specialized in jewelry that worked with YouTubers. So you could tribute the creative, the designs, like if you have specific designs, then they ask you a bunch of questions, kind of like that resonates with who you are on YouTube, what your channel represents, you know? So if you have like an astrology channel, maybe you'd have astrology jewelry or whatever. And for me, obviously, I have a lot of cats, and they've been very involved in my YouTube channel since the beginning. And well, the two that I had back then.
We have way too many cats.
Now we have double the cats. But yeah, I was like, well, people know me because the cooking. I do Tasty Tuesday. I have cats, and I like M&M. And those are like the three things about me. So I won't make M&M jewelry. Maybe we'll do cooking jewelry later, but let's do some cat jewelry. And so I kind of spitballed some ideas with them, and we came up with a whole line of like cat and crystal jewelry. So it incorporated the stones that I used to make and the jewelry that I used to hand make, and the cats that are very, so it's very much a part of me. Like I very much felt like this was an extension of me. And then I even got to help design the packaging, but they did they manufactured it. So I don't know how they did it. They had factories that they had relationships with, and they would send the designs. They would make them in a computer program, a software program. They send them to the factory. The factory then sends a sample, which they send to me. I then approve it. Then they go and make a bunch of them, like a select quantity. Usually it was like 100 to 150 of them. And then once we get all of the 150, then I would start promoting the launch of that line. And then my job was just to like promote it. We had a contract, and we basically split the profit, and their job was to manufacture the ideas, and my job was to promote it, which was easy for me because I created it. So it was easy to promote. Like a lot of times, you know, it's like someone will come, well, you want to promote this thing? No, I don't want to promote that thing. Usually, but
what do you say to people who are like, okay, well, this isn't really how to start a jewelry line.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is sort of like you get to cut the line.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Because what happened was a year into this, that company disappeared, just straight up gone. Like we were in the middle of designing another launch. I had approved the samples. I was waiting on the samples, and they just ghosted. Like they are gone.
They don't exist.
Website gone.
Yeah.
Socials gone. They used to have social media, and this company had been around for like 20 years. So I was not expecting this. I tried many times to get in contact. I had I had the phone number of the people that ran it. And I tried to text them. I tried to email. No one was responding. Just flat out just disappeared, gone. And it was really sad because I really did like this jewelry line, and I was so excited. I had so many ideas. I sent them so many ideas over because they were like, send us all your ideas. And I sent them so many ideas, and I was very excited to like get the ball rolling. And now we're like a year into it. You know, I was like, I had my groove going. I felt like things were really going to ramp up. I had a lot of goals set about this, and it's gone. And I'm like, shit, like, I don't know what to do now. Like I had this thing that I'd been promoting, and now it's gone. And I didn't know. So I just didn't say anything. I didn't talk about it anymore. I just kind of let it go. Cause even though I wanted to keep going with it, I didn't know how to find another company like that. I had just zero clue on how to start my own line. Of course I believe in the power of the information era and learning, but I didn't feel like I had the time to do that. I had a lot of other projects on my plate, a lot of different companies I was working for. And over the next year and a half, I had so many messages pour in all the time that were like, when is your jewelry line coming back? Like, I really like this Fuck Perfect necklace. I had a Fuck Perfect line. Oh yeah, there was Cat Jewelry, and then there was also this Fuck Perfect line. I'm actually wearing one of the bracelets from the original collection. People were like, I missed it, and I've always regretted like not getting one on time. Like, when are you coming back with them? It's been so long. And people were constantly asking about the jewelry line, and I just would be like, I don't know. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. Then a pandemic hits in 2020, last year. And I was like, gee, now I have all this free time. Maybe I should figure out how to relaunch this jewelry line, because I really liked it. And so I took the time to try to do some research. And this is where I'm like, okay, if you're starting a business, even if you don't know how the fuck to start, you should know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So start with the end in mind. Like, have an idea of like, okay, if you had it your way, like if you just had the ideal situation, like if the planets aligned for you, what would this business look like? Do you want it to be a big business? Do you want it to be a small business? What kind of
big? I want it to be big, huge.
What kind of products do you want to put out?
Global takeover.
What kind of goods and services do you want it? Do you want to be in charge, hands on of everything, or do you want to kind of like hire people and split profits? And you know, maybe you don't take as much money, but you don't have to do as much work either. And so I started there. I was like, okay, and I started making a list. So just make a list, like, so that you know everything that you want, so that you kind of have, you're making a roadmap for yourself, basically, to know like when you get there. Because if you don't know where you're going, then you don't know when you got there. So I wanted to own it. I wanted to make enough that we could continue to expand. Like, I could take the profits, put it back into the company, expand. I wanted to have the experience. So your business should solve a problem or fill a niche, like either, you know, give someone, solve a problem that currently exists, or add to someone's life in some way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whatever that is, know why you're doing it too. So know what you want to do, and then know why you want it. I think those two are more important than the how. A lot of people like really focus on like the how, and they're, you know, reading business books and they're going to seminars or whatever, but they don't know why they're doing it or how. And I was very clear about the why. The why was that I wanted jewelry that I would buy. And the reason that I buy jewelry is I feel like it expresses what, like, it's a form of expression. And I also really like crystals and things that have meaning as reminders, like reminders throughout the day, like this means that and this mm-hmm. means that. And I know,
it brings your mind to that place.
Yeah, if that's all it is.
It brings your mind to that place.
It brings your mind to that place. And if you tune into my channel long enough, you know I have this whole like color coding system by the day, where every day is a different color and each color means something. So like today's a pink day, for example, and pink is associated with finances and success and like mostly like money. So I use pink days to go over budget and money and expenses and stuff like that. And it just is a reminder, even if it doesn't bring you money if you wear pink, I don't, that's not why I do it. I do it because it reminds me to take care of that area of my life. And that's what I kind of wanted the jewelry to symbolize. So limited quantities so that we don't get ahead of ourselves. I didn't want to have just like a lot of inventory. I wanted to have them be limited campaigns, and like each thing means something. And with crystals in the crystal world, if you collect crystals, they say that the crystal chooses you, like if you want to get woo-woo with it. So if you walk in a crystal store, you're not supposed to know what any of the crystals mean. You just like go to the one that you're drawn to. And usually if you go home and look up its meaning, it's something that you needed in your life at that point.
And by the way, that is how they got Spencer and Heidi to spend like $300,000 on crystals.
Do they have a lot of crystals?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
I've never delved into their life.
Before they got financially pretty wrecked, I guess, because they were spending way more than they had uh-huh. from the show money that ended up going away, they were like buying fucking gigantic rocks.
Mm.
from very capable salespeople.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I didn't get into crystals because of the meaning. I had no idea that they even represented anything.
No, I just love that the $15 crystals didn't speak to them. The $80,000 ones.
No, but that's what I'm trying to say is that I originally bought them because they're gorgeous. And if I could have afforded like a huge geode
for sure
crystal,
they're
like
beautiful,
I fucking would have, because I think they're so pretty and I can't believe that they grow out of the earth.
That's why I think salt lamps are sick.
Yeah,
we have one. So sick looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I had collected crystals since I was a kid. I didn't even know that half of the things I was collecting were even considered crystals. I thought they were just tumbled rocks. You know, I would ask for pretty rocks for Christmas when I was a kid because we would go in the nature store and I would like just play with the shiny rocks all the time.
It was really cool.
I fucking loved them.
Me too.
I would have dreams about someone gifting me like a box full of tumbled rocks.
That's cute.
I just liked them so much and I never knew why. I just never... I just thought
they were kind of opaque sometimes.
Yeah,
like
there's different
ones. You could shine lights through them and stuff. I love that shit.
So, as I learned more about crystals, I thought it was more fascinating just to have that there's actual like meaning connected to it culturally. Like in different cultures, they celebrated different meanings of these rocks that grew out of the earth. I thought that's so cool. And when they say that the crystal chooses you, I felt like, okay, having it be limited time, it really can only go to the people it's meant to go to. So if you miss out on that particular crystal, it never comes back again. It's just meant to go to whoever got it at that time. So I liked that idea moving forward with it. And then the fuck perfect is because I'm a recovering perfectionist and I get hella anxiety. I always want to do a good job and I feel like I'm never doing a good enough job. And I go to bed even after a day where I'm like, I got everything done. I still go to bed being like, I didn't crush it. Like, there's no way I did a good enough job.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I'm going to try to do a better job.
Oh, I'm very familiar with this.
And it's not a fun life because even though other people will be like, wow, you're so good at this.
You're doing it.
You don't get to reap the benefits of that because you yourself feel like you suck at everything. Mm-hmm. And so I've tried for the past handful of years to really combat this perfectionism. I do exercises in my bullet journal, which I vlog about on my vlog channel, which is just like to get me out of my head. Like, it's okay to fuck up. It's okay to mess up. You're allowed, like, in fact, go try and mess up.
Exactly.
Go fail as much as you can.
I love that.
And so when the Fuck Perfect collection was exactly to address that. And I had originally had these bracelets that I ordered off of Etsy that just had it was just a simple bracelet that had Fuck Perfect engraved in it for my bridesmaids, because brides can tend to stress out about their wedding. It's like this big day and everyone's making a big deal about it and all your relatives are like putting a lot of pressure on you. And
not all your relatives. Mine did not show up.
Yes, if the relatives that show up.
Yeah, the ones that show up, I think.
Yeah, and I didn't actually have a lot of expectations because I'd never been to a wedding in my adult life before my own, but I still was like, I still want to do a good job, you know? And people were like, you know, it's never going to go exactly as planned. So I bought those bracelets like Fuck Perfect. Like, no matter what, we're going to have a good time. And I just had all my bridesmaids go into it with that in mind. Like, I don't care what happens today. Let's just fucking have fun. This is about love and it's about spending time with people that we love. And I shared that on the channel on our wedding video. And people really liked that. People were asking me where I got these bracelets, where I got them. And I was like, you know what? That would be a perfect line. So that was what that meant. And so all of the pieces, I really put a lot of thought into just like something that I would want to buy and something that's an extension of myself. And if you've, you know, people that have messaged me on my channel over the years, just a reflection of the things that they're saying that they got out of the channel. And I really like that. I also didn't want you to just buy a jewelry piece. I wanted you, like, when you get it in the mail, to feel like you got a gift. Cause I order a fuck ton of stuff off the internet and I always talk about how the mailman gives me gifts. Because I like it to feel that way. I like it to feel like I got a gift in the mail. Not like I just like had to order batteries from Amazon. I like that it's like, ooh, I was gifted batteries. Like, it came in the mail.
If only they made the battery opening experience better. Instead of having to use your teeth and fucking like a jackhammer.
Isn't that? So I should come out with batteries next.
You should come out with batteries. You have a much better packaging experience, I find.
So the packaging was really important to me. So I was writing down this list like, I want the packaging to be an experience. I want the logo to fully like have the vibe. I had a very clear idea of what the vibe is, and I wanted the Instagram page to reflect that as well. Because the first time around, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just like, oh, I'm supposed to promote this. And like, I just threw random pictures up there and didn't have like a vibe. And I really just, you know, wanted that. And so for me, I knew that my strengths were over the years developing like an eye for like a consistent theme, and like because I had done the home page on the like house decorating page on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, I like how there's like a consistency, you know. And so I brought that to the table this time. I knew a graphic designer that could design the logo this time. I knew that I didn't know how to manufacture. That was like the only thing. I was like, okay, I know what I want to put out. I know why I'm putting it out, but I just don't know how. And that's, I think, the point that people come to. And that's why that question was asked in the Patreon. And so we're going to go on a break, and then I'm going to tell you what I personally did for the how. It might be completely different for you. Stay tuned and play Best Fiends and buy whatever we tell you to buy. Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Okay, so the how. So you have all your things. I guess I didn't talk about how, like, the... Gosh, there's so much for business that I forget that you collect along the way. So we have an S Corp. Mm-hmm. That we like, you know, for YouTube and all the things that we do. And if you are starting a business, you should like think about taxes too, because otherwise you're going to get really screwed. So I would, you know, have a bookkeeping team. I think these are things that people don't consider when they're first like, oh, a business. Okay. Have a bookkeeping team and like figure out what kind of business you want. Do you want to be an independent contractor? Do you want to have a corporation? There's pros and cons to both, but you can talk to somebody about all that. So yeah, taxes are really important. But then also like the legal side of things, basically know all the elements before you start. Then you can put like these pieces together like a puzzle. So what I wanted to do was find a manufacturer, because that was the one piece of the puzzle that was missing. I have the bookkeeping team in place. I had the legal in place. I had all of the ideas in place, but I didn't have the manufacturer. So I went on Google. Like, that's really how simple like it was to start. And I had built it up in my mind. Because, and I think this was the reason why I put it off so long too, is that I built it up in my mind, like, I don't know where to start, and it's very intimidating. I had a friend that put out her own line of products, but she like flew to China and like found her factory and like did all this stuff. And I was like, I can't fly to China. This was pre-pandemic. I was like, I can't fly to China, like, especially in a pandemic, I couldn't. So I just started cold calling. Like, I just typed in jewelry manufacturers, and then I found a list of jewelry manufacturers, and then I checked out their websites. And there were a couple different options for me. One was that I could go directly to like a local jeweler and give them a sketch or a rough idea of what my creative design was. And then they could work on making a mold of that. And then they charge you by the piece. So like $10 a piece for this necklace.
Like a prototype.
No. The mold would cost like $100.
Mm.
But the pieces themselves, like, you would buy them in bulk. So if I wanted 100 of them, it's like $1,000.
Got it.
You give me 100 pieces, then I turn around and I would sell them for retail value. So,
and that's not including packaging, right? Like, they're just giving me the pieces.
That's just the pieces.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, that's one route. But then I have to do all the shipping. all the customer service. I have to run everything.
Returns, all that kind of shit.
Yeah, the profit margin would be bigger, but my workload would also reflect that. And I was like, okay, no, I don't want that. I really just want the same exact deal that I had with that other company, minus a few things. And then I wanted to find someone that could fulfill all the things that I couldn't do. And then I would work really hard on the other stuff. So I was checking out a few companies that had similar jewelry to the types that I put out before. And one in particular stood out because they had their webpage for their jewelry company, but then they also had these tabs of different lines that they started. And one of the lines was like for this this one woman designer who was making pieces for women, and each piece had a message. And I was like, oh, that's a similar type of thing. Completely different style of jewelry, but similar in the way that they were doing it. She had like a...
Same why.
She had a why for what she wanted to empower women. So hers were very like a live, laugh, love type of jewelry.
Love it.
You know, which is, it fills that niche. You know, you should know like the type of people that you want to... that's another thing, I guess, like I'm just going all backwards, but like the type of people that you are imagining buying the jewelry so that you can really like be eye to eye with what they want and how you would fulfill that experience. And so,
but first coffee people.
Yes.
Yeah. My favorite. Live, laugh, love, but first coffee.
Yeah. For me, it's
first the Wi-Fi.
For me, it's but first kittens and then coffee.
There you go.
Yeah.
True. And then husbands.
No.
Do we get a line?
No.
Okay, cool. We're in line for the line.
They'll get the coffee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're in the back of the line for the line, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Laugh track. Mark, hit the laugh track.
Hit the laugh track.
Thank you.
I cold called around, and there was one particular company I really liked, and I talked to the owner, he was the vice president of that company, and we had a really nice conversation. And
you're like, I demand to talk to the president of the company.
Yeah, I was like, can you forward me to the president?
I'm waiting. I'm on hold for the president. I need to speak to your manager.
No, he was awesome. And he had talked about how he was actually looking for influencers to work with. Cause that's the way I led. I was like, okay, my strength is not that I've had experience in jewelry making at all, but that I do influencer marketing.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of brands, a lot of big name brands who pay for me to promote their products. But this would be, we're promoting our own products. So I'll do that, the promotion part in the deal form.
Not the name drop too hard, but Natty Ice Sours, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, that is one.
Thank you.
So they actually didn't. They just sent free products. Right. I didn't she was really hilarious. Promote them. But, yeah, so I was asking him if he'd ever worked with influencers before or done influencer marketing, and he said that he had just gotten introduced to the concept because his daughter is in her 20s and she follows a lot of influencers and buys products from influencer marketing, and that he hadn't even really shopped online before the pandemic, but then now in the middle of a pandemic, he doesn't think he's going to go back to shopping not online. And he thinks a lot of people in his generation that were previously opposed to it are now converted over. And so he's like, yeah, I'm really interested in getting more into digital marketing and all this stuff. And so I was talking to him about how the previous company I worked with operated and kind of what our template was. And it was kind of like a plug and play type of situation. And he was like, yeah, that sounds good. I can send you over numbers of like what our base price would be. And so we had quite a few meetings about numbers and logistics and what everyone's roles would be. And then I had my lawyer put together a contract based on what we had talked about. And then he signed it. I signed it. And then we were like, all right, let's do this thing. So
did you ever say like, hey, well, I guess we're adulting now?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
I did not.
Okay.
But that's a great idea for a line that I know a person that has a line like that.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. So
right.
I'll pass it along.
Cool. Thanks.
So in the beginning of the year, he actually went and started his own business. So now he is the president of his company, and his family has been in jewelry for a long ass time. And they actually live in a city where this whole city specializes in jewelry making.
What? Yeah. What?
It's in Rhode Island. Yeah. They're like, what? Yeah, I read a whole blurb on it on how they're like the jewelry capital.
Like how Pittsburgh has Steel Town because everyone there, like, you know, there's steel workers, but then there's jewelry maker, jewelry maker land.
Yeah, there's jewelry maker land.
Absurd.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he started his own company at the beginning of this year. And so when we got together at the beginning of this year, it was like we were kind of trusting each other. Like, this is the first time I've done this. This is the first time you've done this. Let's make it happen. And so I felt a lot of motivation from them. I just really connected to them. Shout out to that.
Said that the whole time.
Yeah,
so Imperial Designs partners, especially compared to your former partners.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to talk poorly about anybody, but no. I don't like to be ghosted. So that's
a big thing. They didn't even say anything at the end.
Yeah, and it was poor communication the whole time. But yeah. Anyway, so I had my lawyer put together a contract. You want everything to be in writing when you are partnering up with people. You don't want there to be any muddy areas. I have started a business before where we did not put things in writing at first at the request of one of the people involved, and it did not go well.
It was a disaster.
It rarely ever does go well if you do not put things in writing. So highly, highly, highly recommend you spend the money to have a lawyer put together a contract, an agreement that everybody signs, and so everyone is on the same page. It's in writing. It's legal. Nobody has any leeway to finagle the rules, okay?
Yeah. Very or dick important. You over on equity, which is big too.
Yeah, exactly. So all the details will be ironed out in this agreement. So you'll know exactly how much the profit sharing is, how the money will work, how the different jobs will work, everyone's role. And then I would do the creative and then they would do the fulfillment. And they handle all of the customer service. They do the website, but I help design the website and I do all the approve things and do all the marketing. So I hired the graphic designer to do the logo. I had to buy the domain name, like all of the stuff that got configured ahead of time. And then I sent specific packaging requests. Like I wanted the packaging to be a very specific way, and they found a factory to do it that way. And so they are very well connected to all of the things that I didn't know how to connect to, which is exactly what I was looking for. It was just this third party that has the connections, and then I'll do the creative. And it's been working out really, really well. And they're they have a lot of communication, and we go back and forth. But since it's so new for both of us, the hardest part is like not being able to know what to do if something goes wrong, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I worry about it, but I also started with the Fuck Perfect campaign for that specific reason, that it's like, okay, yeah, like, I don't know what I'm doing per se. I know I have a strong idea of what I'm doing, and I'm going to constantly put action towards getting it there, but I don't know all the little things that could go wrong. And I think those are the things that you find out through experience.
But it's funny because as you're doing it, while being a person who doesn't know what you're doing, you actually seem like you know what the fuck you're doing.
I feel like I have a good grasp from previously working. You know, I've started a few businesses.
Because you failed a couple times.
Yeah, and I failed a couple times and I learned each time. And for me, I'm not scared of failure as long as we're learning each time. As long as you learn from it, then it's a chance to grow and to do it better next time. And how do you improve if you don't make any mistakes?
Exactly.
You can literally, if you're perfect already, you can literally not improve.
Yep.
So I embrace that, but it's scary because it's like, oh, it's like a little baby. And I didn't start it to make money. I was just like, this is a passion project, and this will be an opportunity to learn, just like I felt about this house when I was decorating it and painting it crazy colors. I was like, you know what, this was never going to be our forever home.
Mm-hmm.
So if I mess something up, it's okay. It's like a practice home. And so with this jewelry line, it's been like very much a baby, and I've put a lot of thought into every little detail of it, but you know, there's still things that, like, if for example, in the first run with the other company, people's Fuck Perfect necklaces were breaking in half. And I was like, oh no, like I'm literally, I have no control over that.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to make it as thick, like as thick as possible, but I remember the first two samples I got, they broke on me and I made sure that they made them thicker. Mm-hmm. So, and then the third one they sent didn't break and I was, you know, putting it through the ringer and it didn't break on me, but then it broke on other people and it's like, oh, it feels bad because I feel personal connection to the things that I'm putting out.
It's you.
And similarly, the so I made sure everything was like really good this launch, but the Fuck Perfect rings broke this time and at this, and mine didn't break. And so I had no idea that could even happen because I approved four different samples and none of them broke, but then people's were breaking and it feels like, oh no, like I feel like I don't want to disappoint anyone. Yeah. So then we go back and we're correcting that, we're making them stronger, and you know, it is a learning curve, but each time I feel like, even with the pictures, you know, I hired the photographers. So, because I'm in charge of all of the creative part of it. So I hired the photographers, and it was a learning curve because they didn't shoot jewelry before. They were more of lifestyle photographers. So like full body fashion, you know, they know how to angle bodies, but not really like capture product. So we took like an hour or two, like really trying to get jewelry photography down. And that was, it's each time it's so interesting because I'm like learning new things. And I think that's what I love about it, is just like not knowing and then slowly learning and picking up these.
That's your favorite thing to do is learning.
It's so, it's my favorite thing to do is
and playing learning. Poker.
And then having it, and then adapting, you know? Well, in poker, it's
more
learning.
I'm more
too, yeah. And I'm like, oh shit, okay, that hand went poorly. What could have I have done better? What can I do next time in this spot?
No, that's not why. You just like to gamble,
right? I just think of it as a slot machine.
That's correct.
Hopefully, my cards win.
That's correct.
No. So yeah, the photography was a learning curve too, but each element of it has been really fun to try to put together. It really has been like a puzzle of finding the right people. And then people that get the vibe too, especially, that was really important to me. I really wanted the photographer I was working with to get the vibe. It happened to be my friend Jess Lazama at first. Shout out to Jess.
Yep, she's but amazing.
I knew she's not like a full-time photographer. She has her own shit going on. So I paid her to do the photography the same rate that I would pay like a professional photographer, because I like working with her and I knew she would get the vibe. No matter what, I knew she would nail the vibe. Yeah, and she did, and she has been. Recently on this last campaign, she was busy. So I had to hire a new photographer and I was so scared that he wouldn't get it.
He also crushed it.
Yeah. He's shout out to Vincent. What? So you can see both of those, but you can see an evolution even in the photography and even in the way things are going. And even with that, like I know I want to start incorporating reels online, and I just got to be able to tag products on Instagram. That took fucking 5 months because I couldn't get it to work. Like there was like an error, and then I was on the phone with Facebook forever. Like we did a whole Zoom meeting. They're like, oh, it must be a glitch in our system, we'll get back to you. And they never got back to me. And it was just so much back and forth with trying to get approved to tag products. And then you can't make Facebook ads if you don't get approved for product tagging. And then at one point it said I was approved, but it still wouldn't let me. It was just a whole thing. But it was so, even though it was super frustrating, the breaking through it like felt so good because it felt earned. Felt like, dude, I worked really fucking hard to get this tagging feature. And so now I think like I'm going to learn more about how Facebook marketing works, how targeted ads work. I don't know anything about that at all, but just like anything else, I watch videos on it. When I don't know how to do something, I watch videos on it, in-depth tutorials, and I read books, like so many books. I bought a lot of books on it. I don't know much of the information. So then it's a combination of watching tutorials, reading articles and books, and then trying it, like just trying it and praying and then seeing what goes wrong and then trying to adapt from there.
Yeah.
And that's like really all it is every time.
What do you say to people who are like, okay, I understand that like you had like an audience already to sell to. Mm-hmm. I want to start a jewelry line and I don't have anybody.
Right. So that's what I was saying, where everyone's going to start from a different place and your route might look completely different than mine.
Right.
My strength was having an audience.
Yeah, but what would you say to
them? I know, I'm getting there. Yeah. So I would say start with what your strength is. So maybe your strength is in I don't know, graphic design, or maybe your strength, maybe you're already a manufacturer and you need to hire the marketing team. So you own the business and you hire out the things that you don't know how to do. So I'm looking at creative, creative marketing, digital marketing, to fulfill this part that I don't know how to do yet. Maybe if I learn it, then I won't need them anymore. Or maybe I'm like, oh, actually they make my life so much easier, I'll just keep having them do it.
Yeah.
But you can't do it all. I mean, you can do it all, but you're going to get very tired. And that's fine. I mean, maybe you're the type of person that's like, well, I'm just, like, I have to do it myself.
Yeah.
And I was that way for many, many, many years of like feeling like if I don't do it, then it's not going to get done right.
Because I actually didn't know this until like yesterday.
Yeah.
But our buddy Anthony Lee, he's launching like a shoe with Nike right now.
That's so cool.
Called Air Sesh, which is pretty cool. But he was saying that when Nike was getting started, like it was just like this, like couple guys, and they would go to like track meets.
Yeah.
And they were selling Nike shoes out of a van to athletes. And just going like, hey, try ours out.
Yeah.
See what you think of this shit. And like, that's like, you know, they didn't have an audience already.
Yeah.
They just had a brand that they designed.
That they believed in.
And they believed in. And then they just took it on the road, put it in a van and just tried and just sold it direct to the consumer.
Yeah. So when I was making the jewelry by hand, so I felt before I had an audience, I was just making jewelry. And I felt like that was my strength, was the actual making jewelry part. I was going to stockpile a bunch of jewelry and then sell it at a farmer's market. And then I was going to try to network with like little like shops, like little boutique artist shops and try to like sell them a bulk quantity that they could sell in their store and like kind of develop relationships that way. I started an Etsy at one point. Oh, I made stickers a couple years ago and I didn't want that to become a full blown business,
yeah.
But I just like, I did want to share it with some people were requesting it. So I just started an Etsy and had, you know,
yeah, you sold the stickers there. Fun.
And I think that if you can just master a few things or if you not even master, but if you could just pick up a few more skills, like whether it's networking in your local community and selling your items to different shops and stores or developing relationships where they're producing items for you or you're the producer and you're just looking for someone to market it. Or if you go online and you learn how to do digital sales or learn SEO, like marketing, like website design, maybe you can design a dope website. You know, there's people that don't even ever come into contact with product and they do drop shipping.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole other arena.
Huge business.
I had been researching that for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're into something like that, like some people pick up that more so than other things. Like it's, you know, it's where your brain is oriented. And for me, like the creative part came easier than the sourcing part. Sourcing for me feels like a headache, a chaotic nightmare.
Yeah.
So I would rather partner with a company that has already has all these sources. And that's what the company that I'm partnered with does. But maybe you're somebody that loves to go source things. Maybe you're like a networker type of person. You kill it at making relationships. Then you can find those things very easily and you could be that person. You could even be the third party that you find the creative person and you find the source and you just collect like intermittent profit from exchanging goods between these people.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
and it applies to everything because, like, you know, me and you talk about all the time, strengths and weaknesses wise, we both wish that one of us, our strengths was like being a line producer.
Yeah. Something like that.
You know what I mean? Like, because then, you know, we have all these like sketch ideas or creative ideas, but then the execution of them is such a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Two creatives getting together that are more creative than linear thinking is like,
it's
really hard to get things. The follow through is hard.
You have to hire out.
Yeah. It really helps to have a producer, even just like with this show, like having to do it at home has made it so much harder because we're both just like in our own creative zones. And we used to just like go to a studio and there was like a whole production team. And then we leave the studio and don't think about it. But now it's like we have to set everything up. Yep. And then
we have to remember to hit record.
I've forgotten to hit in this episode. I forgot to hit record in the beginning.
This
I filmed
so
like
much.
10 minutes. It happens so much more than you guys know.
We've done an hour, almost an hour. We've done a half hour before.
We've done like almost a full episode.
Yeah.
of it not being recorded.
And we always swear it's better, but it's really fine. But we're always like, it was so much better first.
I swear it was better first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's more organic.
Yeah.
But yeah, so YouTube Creatives is, yeah, we don't have different strengths and weaknesses, which is a weakness in itself.
Yep, correct.
But at least we know that. And so we know the most efficient way to do things is to hire our production team. We still have Mark editing, because I don't know how to edit the audio for podcasts at all. I'm so dumb at this stuff.
Like, and there's a theory about Mark, by the way. I don't know if you know this.
What's the theory?
But kind of like James Bond, there's a theory that all the James Bonds are not the same guy, and this MI6 has 007. They call him James Bond.
Oh, like Paul McCartney.
Mark is potentially, there's a big theory about it.
What?
Different people, and then we just call him Mark every time.
It's a great theory.
It's a theory.
Did he die in 1966 in a car crash?
I'm not going to say if he did or didn't.
You know, there are people that believe in multiple Paul McCartneys.
There are people that believe in multiple Marks.
Multiple John...
Multiple Lennons, I believe in more than Paul, because he looked different, much more different than Paul ever looked, in my opinion.
Yeah. So there's a whole business that you could start.
Nobody replaced Ringo. That's Ringo.
That's just, I think he's actually the ring leader. That's what that name means.
No, he's not. He was just the drummer.
He's the ring leader. The Ringo leader.
Nah, he was just the drummer.
Yeah. So back to this. I think that, having a solid team really helps, and especially if you're going to expand your business, you got to look in the future. That's why I said, like, start with the end in mind, because a lot of people, they get started and they're just like doing everything themselves, and then they don't know how to scale, because you cannot physically work more hours, and you cannot physically produce more goods, and your goods and time and money is all intrinsically connected, because you're the one doing all of it, so you can't expand. And so having a good team and people that know what they're doing, and having everything protected in writing, that enables you to have room for growth. So right now we're currently like exploring accessories and possibly journals, spoilers, just different things, because I want it to reflect, like, you know, a certain like lifestyle, like not just jewelry, but also in life. If I had it my way, in the end, there'd be a whole line of home decor too. But
agreed.
Right now we're with jewelry.
I had the same question for Anthony yesterday, who's launching a shoe with Nike, which is crazy. And it's for dancers only, I guess. It's like a dancer shoe.
Oh, okay.
But there is a point in the process where you have to step away from the thing that you're making and go, okay, it's finally done.
Yeah.
What makes you go like, okay, this is finally the last iteration of this. It's ready. Because there's so much pressure in it when it's such a personal thing and it's yours.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you, I'm never happy. Like, I don't ever really feel a like this is done thing with anything I do, ever. Mm-hmm. And it's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because you're always trying to improve, but it's a curse because you never think anything's like ready or done. And so that fuck perfect message really does resonate hard with me every single time. And so what I've incorporated into my line of thinking is, I get something, I'm like, I feel like it could be better this, 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 and this way. And if it's a long list, then maybe I'll ask for some adjustments. But if it's just like one or two things, I'll ask a third person, or I'll ask a second opinion, without giving them any of my opinions yet, just a non-bias, like, what do you think about this? Would you change anything? Yeah. Is there any way it could be better? And see what they think. And if they're gushing about it, then I'm like, all right, I'll get a third opinion. And if the third person's also gushing, I'm like, all right, it's just me that sees these little things then. But if they're like, if they're not excited when they see it, if they get it and they're like, I like the where you're going, but maybe it could be this, then I'm like, okay, it needs more work. Because I want people to be excited. And even though my initial idea is excitement, you know, sometimes you have a too specific of an idea in mind of what you need at the end. And there needs to be a little bit of room. And this is true with like anything creative, even when I'm doing, you know, paintings in my journal. There needs to be this little bit of room for the unknown. Because if you don't leave that room, then you don't know if something better could come out of it. And I feel like most of the time when I let go of this like solid, hard idea of what I need to be the finished outcome, and when I let that go, usually the outcome is better than, I mean, it ends up being a creative mesh of both my idea and the person that helped me fulfill it, and it's better.
And the husband that helped you approve it, who's like, yeah, it looks really good. I think that,
yes,
you know, that's pretty tight.
He has an eye for detail.
See what I'm saying?
Unless he's going almond milk shopping.
All right, Mark, we're going to cut that.
And he will always get vanilla.
We're going to cut that, Mark.
And you're like, I just want unsweetened plain, please. And he's like, dude, I got it this time. And he will bring back sweetened vanilla every time.
Mark, even though you're just an idea, please cut that.
You're just an idea in our brains.
Mark's not even real.
He's not. I don't like this conspiracy. Theory. I don't like it.
Interesting fan theory.
It angers me.
Oh.
Because Mark is so real.
No, he's real to us, you know?
I need everyone to believe this.
We'll see. I think a lot of people are calling BS. They've been calling BS for a long time on the whole Mark thing. Oh, yeah. A lot of people.
Are there any questions that I left out? I feel like...
No, I do want to say, though, yeah. I really am a big fan of the symbol that you made.
Because you made
that and you patented it.
Yes. Not patent. A trademark.
Trademark. Thank you.
Yeah. So, the logo. Thank you for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. So, that was a whole new arena that I had never delved into before. But... it's called Kittens.
You sat there every day. I watched you on a little pad, mm-hmm. and she's like writing out
for like a month
this logo, adjusting it for a month, and then she was using an artist too, going back and forth with that guy.
Yeah,
and like it was like she took it so seriously. I was like, God damn!
Even to the point of like he had it kind of tilted at first, exactly. in my opinion, and I needed him to rotate it a little bit, and he didn't rotate it enough, and I had to go back and have him rotate it a little bit more, just like a smidgen more. And like mm-hmm. until it was the correct rotation. And then I didn't think the font was the right size. And like it went, yeah, it was very, very much that. In fact, I would tell you should hire a company to do a brand book for you. I've been reading a lot about this, but just to have consistency from the beginning, to know the vibe from the beginning, hire a company. I don't remember what they're called, like a creative, I wrote it down, but like they basically put together your brand,
yep.
where you pick out colors, you pick out the font, and you have consistency across all platforms. So
on all applications.
If there's like a banner, yep. or like you're sponsoring some event later down the line,
that's the way it has to be.
Like, this is the font that we use. We use this exact color, and I didn't do that, but I was very particular on how I wanted everything.
Yeah,
you know, maybe next time I'll get specific colors and everything. But yeah, this particular logo is an ampersand, so it's kittens and coffee, but it's in kittens ampersand coffee, and the ampersand is a cat that looks like it's in a coffee mug,
which is really cool. Actually, I really like it.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of it, actually.
And so this necklace has not come out yet, spoilers, sneak peek if you're on YouTube, but we'll
get it out from behind the mic, pal.
It's a pearl necklace. And it has the
laugh track mark.
Has a gold, our gold ampersand logo in it. And so that's kind of what I mean. Like I'll pull ideas, you know, from what's trendy and things that I would wear and things that have meaning to me and things that I like and how I would want to express myself. And then I make it more personal. So my adding this logo and having, they had to actually, the jewelry manufacturing company I work with created the mold based off of the logo. And, this is on all of our boxes too. And I had to get it trademarked, and getting something trademarked is kind of confusing. It's really confusing, actually, because you have to search this database, but then not everybody's registered in the database. So even if they have it trademarked, they have to pay to be in that database. So you might not know even then.
Crazy.
And then like it's a whole racket. Like they make money being the legal team that can search everywhere to make sure it's not trademarked already, and you have to pay them a certain amount of money, and then you have to follow up with it yourself. So like they'll be like, okay, it's gonna take 3 months, and you have to follow up with it,
yeah,
to find
like,
out
we're
if it,
any work, by the way, yeah. You're paying us and then we're gonna fuck off.
If you hire someone to follow up with it, then you can find out if you actually got a trademark. But
so
yeah,
funny.
It's a whole process, and then you even still might not get a trademark, and you even still might need to follow up and be like, hey, have you approved this yet?
In summation, obviously there's so much more to all this than you could even say in an hour podcast. Yeah.
And I think that what I want to get across is it could be as complicated or as simple as you want it to be, but I genuinely have been having fun figuring out each little component of the puzzle. And I think that's what I really like about this, is that it's not just the jewelry part to me. It's every aspect of what goes into putting out a line or a business or starting something from scratch. And I like it. I like figuring out all these little details because it helps me, like, the next time if I want to start something, I'll now have this resource of things that I've picked up from this company that I can bring to the next one, even though I want to just continue expanding this one. But, I will have that resource. And so I urge you to use Google or your search engine of choice, maybe DuckDuckGo for you, maybe something else like that.
Dude, I got a little pitch for you.
Yeah.
Fuck perfect neon signs.
Well, when we get into the home decor section.
You dig?
Maybe we'll go there.
Yeah. Hot pink neon. Let's go.
I actually really like that idea.
Hot yellow.
I like the pink.
Hot brown.
What? Now you're just getting.
Have you seen hot brown?
No.
It's pretty hot.
You're getting cuckoo.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we got to go, guys.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening. I hope that wasn't too rambly. I feel like, was that scattered at all? I feel like it was scattered.
No, it was, well, dude, businesses are scattered, but it wasn't, it wasn't that it was scattered. It was just
trying to explain how it happened.
It's all in your head and you had to get it out.
Yeah.
There it is.
Put the pieces together. But start with what you know and then go research and watch tutorials and find people that know the things that you don't know.
It's a survivor puzzle.
And don't be scared. Every time you go and you try it and it doesn't work out, you learn something.
Nikki wins individual immunity.
Jeff, I've dreamed about this moment all my life. I can't believe this is happening.
Nikki, we're going to medically evacuate you.
Yes, I get to go to an excursion. If I was ever on Survivor, I'd be the most complaining survivor.
Yes, you would.
And I would be so stoked to be voted off so I could go on excursions on the island.
And this video is why you'll never get on Survivor.
I heard that they get to go on excursions. Like, if you're not on the jury, don't make it to the jury.
No, 39 days of vacation. No.
Yeah. If you get voted off before the jury, you can go on excursions.
That's free. Just a little hack out there.
A little hack.
Get on Survivor, get voted out first.
Yes. Everyone's all sad, boohoo. 40-day
vacation.
Get me coffee and get me the fuck out.
Daily buffet, by the way.
Yes. Because those islands look gorgeous, but then surviving on them?
No. I don't want to do that shit. I don't want to get bit by bugs.
Dude, we watched one yesterday where a girl had a bug in her ear for all night and it was sucking blood out of her brains.
Nah, I'd be ziplining after getting voted out first.
Yeah, I'm good.
Thanks.
I'm so good.
Ziplining into the mimosa hut.
Although I'd just be floating in the ocean. Let's be real.
That's true.
Oh, I also have a rule. We can't watch Survivor unless there's pretty water. There were a couple seasons that didn't have pretty water.
If it has muddy water, we can't watch it.
I had to skip it.
It's a fact. All right, guys. We'll see you guys next time.
Okay.
Please check us out on Patreon, too, if you want to check out Crypto Corner.
And check out my jewelry line.
All right. We love you guys.
Kittens and coffee.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.